Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda nana na bhajana na rana na Yashoda nana na bhajana na rana na Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nana na Bhajana Ranjana Yashoda Nana na Bhajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Varaja Gataraya Shota Shota Sri Sri Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Varaja Gataraya Shota Shota Sri Sri Madhis Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Parampara Ki Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guranga. All glories to Shri Guru Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, entitled Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, Text 109 through 114. So we'll chant together and then through, and then text 114 we'll chant responsively. Prabhu Deki Bare Gramera Savaloka Aila. Prabhu Darsane Sabe Krishna Bhakta Aila. Upon hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, all the villagers went to see him. Simply by seeing him, they all became devotees of Krishna. Brahmana Sakala Karina Prabhura Nimantrana Pallavabhata Sansavare Karina Niravana. All the Brahmanas of the village were anxious to extend invitations to the Lord, but Pallavabhattacharya forbade them to do so. Premon madhe pade gosani madhya yumanate kayaga chailaiba iban nadive bahite. Vallabhabhata then decided not to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Aidaila because the Lord had jumped into the river Yamuna in ecstatic love. Therefore, he decided to bring him to Prayag. Yanra icha prayage yana karibe nimantrana etabali prabhu lanya karila gamana. Vallabhabhata said, if anyone likes, he can go to Prayag and extend invitations to the Lord. In this way, he took the Lord with him and departed for Prayag.
Gangapate mahaprabhure naukate vasanya Prayage Aila Bhatta Gosani Re Lanya.
Vallabhabhattacharya avoided the river Yamuna. Putting the Lord on a boat in the river Ganges, he went with him to Prayag.
Loka Pitta Bhai Prabhu Das.
Oh, this is our verse. So, responsibly.
Loka Pitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Siksha Karana Sakti Sancharya. Loka Bitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Siksha Karanya Sakti Sancharya. Loka Bitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Siksha Karana Sakti Sancharya.
Please chant.
Loka Vidha Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Saksha Karana Sakti Sancharya. Loka Bitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Saksha Karana Sakti Sancharya. Loka Bitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Gosani Re Saksha Karana Sakti Sancharya. Loka Bitta Bhai Prabhu Dasasva Medha Yanya. Rupa Rupa Gosani Re Siksha Karana Sakti Sancharya Loka Bitta Baye.
From fear of the great crowd of people.
Prabhu,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Dasasvamedhi.
To
Dasasvamedha Gata. Yanya
going.
Rupa Gosanare.
Rupa Goswami.
Siksha Karana.
Teaches.
Sakti Sancharya. Endowing him with potency.
Translation. Due to the great crowds in Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called the Dasasvamedha Ghat. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. Let's read it together. Due to the great crowds in Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called the Dasasvamedha Ghat. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Parasya Saktir Vivid Haiva Shriyate. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies, which the Lord bestows on His fortunate devotees. The Lord has a special potency by which He spreads the Krishna consciousness movement. This is also explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7.11. Krishna Shakti Vinha Nahe Tara Pravartana. One cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. A devotee who receives this power from the Lord must be considered very fortunate. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading to enlighten people about their real position, their original relationship with Krishna. One requires Krishna's special power in order to be able to do this. People forget their relationship with Krishna and work under the spell of Maya, life after life, transmigrating from one body to another. This is the process of material existence. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna personally descends to teach people that their position in the material world is a mistaken one. The Lord again comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to induce people to take to Krishna consciousness. The Lord also empowers a special devotee to teach people their constitutional position. Due to the great crowds in Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called the Dasasvamedha Ghat. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. So in this chapter, the Lord has arrived to Prayag. He was at Balabhabhattacharya's house having lunch with his family and Rupa Goswami and Balabha, Rupa's brother. And Raghupati Upadhyaya had arrived. And he's a scholar and a great devotee. And they started to have, he had a discussion with the Lord where the Lord asked him questions and Raghupati Upadhyaya responded to the Lord's questions about Krishna consciousness. The Lord asked him, who is the foremost being? And he responded, Shyamasundar. And the Lord asked him, which is the best abode? And he responded, Mathura. And he asked him, which part of the Lord's life was the best, Krishna? Was it his childhood, his boyhood, or his fresh youth? And he responded, his fresh youth. And then Raghupati Upadhyaya, he put it all together into a verse, and these verses were later compiled by Rupa Goswami. And so this sort of discussion seems poignant in regards to this verse, and I'll explain a little bit afterwards why this verse that Raghupati Upadhyaya sort of put together is through the questions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very poignant for this verse. So then the Vallabha Bhattacharya decided that he, so 104, let's see, 109. So they had left the home of Vallabha Bhattacharya, and Vallabha Bhattacharya was worried about Lord Chaitanya because he had jumped in, maybe about, it's in the, maybe around verse 49. The Lord had looked into the Yamuna, become sort of mesmerized in ecstasy about the pastimes of Krishna, and he jumped into the water, and the devotees had to pull him out of the water, and then he was on the boat, and the boat almost tipped over. So to get to the home of Vallabha Bhattacharya, they had to go through the Yamuna, by route of the Yamuna. So the Vallabha Bhattacharya was sort of worried, he was anxious about this, and he mentions it verses previously about his anxiety about Lord Chaitanya. So they decided, he decided to go to Prayag. Also, many devotees were coming to his home and requesting invitation to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. And Vallabha Bhattacharya kind of forbid that, which reminded me of when some great devotee, scholar, guru comes to town, and it's kind of like certain invitations to see him speak, and you know, if too many come, you can't fit inside the house there, it's a private class or something like this, and so in that way, Vallabha Bhattacharya was sort of like protecting the Lord from these large crowds. So he decided to go to Prayag, and he said, you know, why don't you meet us there in Prayag, and then you can invite the Lord. So he's more likely to go to Prayag. So they went by route of the Ganges, which, you know, I also thought was sort of peculiar, that I suppose that Vallabha Bhattacharya felt that it was safer that the Lord wouldn't jump in the Ganges, but Lord Chaitanya has, in other pastimes, said how the Ganges is not different than the Yamuna. He even prayed to the Ganges like it was the Yamuna. And Nityananda Prabhu also I want to say tricked the Lord, but you can't, but still he had the Lord think that, you know, that the Ganges was actually the Yamuna. So I just wonder really if, you know, the Ganges is not different than the Yamuna. The Lord could have jumped in the Ganges just quite as easily. So they went by the route of Ganges to Prayag, which has the that location is the confluence of three holy rivers, which I looked in the map, and today it has a few different names. Prayag also maybe known as Allahabad. So they arrived there, and this verse is sort of, and the subsequent verses are basically reveal the title of the chapter, The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. So these next few verses are sort of penultimate for the chapter. And so the verse today, so 114, they specifically went to the Sasva Medha Ghat, and that's the location where the Lord instructs Rupa Goswami in subsequent verses in the philosophy of devotional service. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about how Krishna has many potencies, and that in order to spread Krishna consciousness, you have to be specifically empowered by Krishna. And so this is the meaning of Sankirtan, is to spread the, share the holy name of Krishna with others, but even more generally, to spread about his pastimes, his name, his form, his qualities. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be explaining to Rupa Goswami in some detail. And also, it goes back to the discussion about what Raghupati Upadhyaya and Lord Chaitanya were having at Balabha Bhattacharya's home. Lord Chaitanya was, by asking questions to Raghupati Upadhyaya, he was getting Raghupati Upadhyaya to speak about Krishna consciousness through questions, which is one very nice way of preaching, especially to someone who you don't know at all, like if you meet them on the street. So I thought that was interesting because Lord Chaitanya could have just started speaking about Krishna consciousness, but instead he asked specific questions so that Raghupati Upadhyaya could speak about Krishna consciousness. So I thought of, okay, how could we tie all of this together into sort of one theme? Nothing pleases the Lord more than sharing His holy name with others. And you see this theme throughout the Sastra, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's nothing pleases the Lord more than sharing about Him with others. So this is the meaning of Sankirtan. So in the purport, there's one verse that Srila Prabhupada summarizes, Antya 7.11. The fundamental religious system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. And so the Lord gives us an example how to do that by his own activities, how to share his holy name with others. So I thought about Sankirtan, and what's my experience with Sankirtan? I always imagined when I first learned about this term that it can only be done by book distribution. And I think that is one potent way to share Krishna consciousness with others is by sharing Srila Prabhupada's books. And this street preaching is sort of, I think, maybe the prominent interpretation of Sankirtan. But I think it can be much more diverse than that, because not everybody is going to be a book distributor, at least in the classic sense of going out on the street and handing out books to others. Not that it's not blissful, and we shouldn't try it, and maybe we would like it. And so I did book distribution, you know, for short periods, but I even consider that today that, in a sense, I'm a book distributor in my own way. Just the other day, I was on vacation, and we went to some vegan restaurant, and there was a very nice boy who had served us, and I just felt like something inside me was like, just, he would like a book, you know? Because if we give a book to a faithless person or someone who's inimical, they may trash the book, you know? Or it may just anger them or irritate them. But something inside of me just told me that, you know, this person has some faith, even though our interactions had nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. He was just serving us lunch. So I keep some books and pamphlets in my car and also at my job. So for similar experiences that I can give out a book. So I gave him a pamphlet on Krishna consciousness, and which he gladly accepted. And we had a very, very short, brief interaction because he was working. But I think anyone can really do book distribution in this fashion. So it may not be the Sankirtan that we think of, where you spend hours or more on the street, but I think it's a more practical form of Sankirtan, something that may become more and more useful to share Krishna consciousness with others, because really people may not have the time or the proclivity to like just go out on the street. It may not be something that they like to do. And it's not to say that not everybody can do Sankirtan. Everybody can do Sankirtan in one form or another. Other ways that have inspired me to preach are to invite people into my home. Either people who are sort of friends of devotees or devotees, of course, but then also maybe, you know, strangers, if that's something that you may have an interest in. When I moved to Jacksonville, I lived in Jacksonville for a while, and there are a few devotees there, but it was much easier for me to, for my own spiritual life, I found, was to invite people to my home, because I was working 9 to 5, and it was hard for me. You know, I just thought it was easier for me to invite people to my place than to go to other devotees' homes to talk about Krishna and to have like a regular schedule, because I could set up the date, the time, and I can be available, and then I can invite others over. So I would invite devotees over to my home, but also I would invite non-devotees. I made some flyers and sort of made it public, which may not be for everyone. I thought, I'm inviting these strangers to my home. I don't know them. Hopefully it's going to be safe there, right? But Krishna did protect us. And so, you know, maybe you like to cook, and maybe you like to have like a reading group at your home. A basis where there's sadhu sangha, where devotees come. And then at the same time, you can invite people who are new to Krishna consciousness. It may be a nicer environment for them than just to come to the Sunday feast or to a festival. They may prefer to come with somebody who they know and they have a relationship with, and to hear Krishna in that way. Another way that was inspiring to me to do Sankirtan was through college preaching. I was very much so inspired by someone who I consider a guru, who does a very serious amount of college preaching, and actually who introduced me to Krishna consciousness, just walking up to students and speaking with them. And in a similar way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asking questions, asking the right questions. Really, if you ask the right questions, you can get somebody to speak about Krishna. Because Paramatma is there, and if you're sincere in your endeavor to introduce Krishna to others, if you make the opportunity available, and you ask the right questions, that person will speak about Krishna, or at least their relationship with Krishna, which is not different. And they may be inspired to ask you questions. So I did college preaching for some time, and it was very enlivening. I just want to share one experience at Santa Fe College when it was challenging to, for me anyway, to maintain a program there, because it's made, the Santa Fe College is mostly people who commute. So the students come and then they go home. You know, they don't really stay on campus. They don't some live on campus, but it's just not, that's sort of not the culture there. So to find, you know, to run into students there or somebody who's gonna, you know, may live like 30 minutes an hour away and is gonna stay for a program, you know, at a certain time, or come back to campus just for a program, it's very challenging compared to like other campuses where the students live there. So there were some programs where there were no students except for one. Somebody who was a new bhakta, and we would have it would just be the two of us. If no students came, I mean we would read, and we would have a kirtan, we would have some prasadam, and this helped me so much, because that sometimes if you don't have association, you have to be association, you have to kind of create your own association in the material world. You know, we are not all so fortunate to live in Alachua. I feel blessed that Krishna, brought me back here. But for years, even as a new devotee, I just found that I had to really, there had to be a balance where I could be association for others and also where I could create my own association, my own environment where we could speak about Krishna consciousness and be very, very creative about that. So I used to bake cookies for this devotee to give out with the flyers. And I considered that he was, a bhakta. I never considered that, I'm preaching to this person, that I'm his association. I just saw him, he's a bhakta, we're working together. So I would give him, every week, he was a student there also. So I would give him, 50 flyers and, 30 or 40 cookies, a couple of batches of cookies. And so he can give out flyers and cookies for the program. So this one week, it was just him and myself, and I said, how's it going with the flyers and the cookies? And it was silence, and he had a smirk. And I said, oh no, what's going on? You're not giving out the cookies? He's like, Prabhu, oh, I'm so sorry. Those cookies are so good. I just ate all the cookies. So, it struck me like a flash, I'm his association. I'm preaching, I was kind of upset and sad that, we had no students there. But Krishna patted me on the back, It's like, even if one person comes, really that's a miracle. Prabhupada talked about this many times. I think people expect the miracle to be walking on water, raising somebody from the dead, because those are miracles that have happened. But the real miracle is when Prabhupada said, you should be surprised when someone stays in Krishna consciousness. The real miracle are the people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, because the material energy is so strong. It's so strong. And especially when Prabhupada came to New York, at that era in the 60s and 70s, the material energy was especially strong. And so this purport and this verse, Prabhupada's making it, he's discussing how you have to be empowered to share Krishna consciousness. So if you feel kind of disconnected from Krishna and you're not sure about your relationship, try Sankirtan. Because there's nothing that pleases Krishna more than when you share his holy name. He will enter your life whether you're aware of it or not at the time, and he will assist you. It's never really quite like we think it's going to be, but you will have deep realization through sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And so Prabhupada is talking about this empowerment, being specifically empowered. A devotee who receives this power from the Lord must be considered very fortunate. One cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. Prabhupada was specifically empowered by Lord Krishna. And there are verses that talk about Prabhupada specifically before Prabhupada had appeared. Eva nama sankirtana tikshna kadhagalaya antara sura jivera pelive katiya. Taking the sharp sword of the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Nam Sankirtan, I will root out and destroy the demoniac mentality in the hearts of all conditioned souls. Yadi papi chadi dharma dure desha yaya morasana pati bhakta yaiva tat. If some sinful people escape in giving up religious principles, go to far-off countries, then my Senapati Bhakta will come at that time and give Krishna consciousness to them. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mangala, Sutra Kanda. Alira Ichaya Saka Bahuta Badila Badiya Paschima Desha Sabha Achadila. By the will of the Supreme Gardener, the branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the Western countries and covering the entire region. So, I mean, what Prabhupada did is a miracle. And it's spoken about, you know, 500 years ago in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Mangala, that someone like Prabhupada would appear and would do this feat. And so when you have somebody who performs such miracles that are so rare, and you have sastra that confirms that, I mean, there's no question. There's no question at all. There should not be any question about who Srila Prabhupada is. And, the life of Srila Prabhupada is so well documented. There's a movie about his life showing how he, you know, because some people don't have the, to read and listen to audiobooks, maybe not so much, but movies inspire people. So, I mean, it shows how Prabhupada didn't have Lakshmi, which is really, in the material world, the basis to do anything. If you want to do anything in the material world, you need money. If you don't have that, I mean, pretty much, good luck. Prabhupada didn't have any Lakshmi. Krishna gave him Lakshmi and temples and, you know, temples all over the world through his Sankirtan preaching. The people came because they were so inspired by his purity, the purity of his message. And then, you know, distributing millions of books in hundreds of in many, many languages, dozens and dozens of languages. I mean, who could do that? Who could do that, especially at that time period, except for someone like Srila Prabhupada, who was specifically empowered by Krishna? So this same power, we have it. It may be covered, and it may be more diverse, it may be different, it may not manifest in exactly the same way as the power that Srila Prabhupada had. But Krishna is in each of our hearts, and he inspires us in the way that, you know, we need to be inspired. And if we show a little bit of sincerity and determination, Krishna will reciprocate in a relationship like that. But if we don't, we won't have the experience, and we won't have the inspiration and the realization. We have to take those first few steps to do Sankirtan and to strengthen our relationship with Krishna like that. Yadidam paramanguyam mad bhaktesh papidasyati bhaktim ai param kritva mam evaishyatyasam shayaha nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priya kritamaha bhavita nachami tasmad anya priya tarobhuvi. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So there are not too many things that are a guarantee in this world. We have taken birth, we will get sick, we will get old, we will pass away. But it's also guaranteed that if we endeavor to do whatever amount of preaching that we can do in this life, it will be something that will forever changes our path, you know. It talks about in the bottom of the purport about life after life, birth after birth, we're in the material world, but any amount of devotional service that we do will help us on this path and will help us take us back to Krishna. So how can you in some way bring Sankirtan into your life, or integrate some Sankirtan into your life? Because we all seem to have busy lives in the material world, and if we don't have some others to inspire us, sometimes we get very stuck in our ways, and we forget very easily, really, who we are and what we're supposed to be doing in a human birth. So we talked about a few practical ways that we can do Sankirtan. If you like to cook, you can distribute prasadam. If you like to read, you can have some reading group. If you like to go door to door, you can go door to door, or you know, do street preaching. If you have a professional life, you can carry some books with you and keep some books in your car. And if you, I think also important to, because people have all types of professions, all types of different types of cultures. So it's interesting that like each person as an individual has different skills, traits, and qualities that make them a unique preacher. Like there are some people that maybe I couldn't relate to me, you know, they just can't, there's too much different. Even if I have the message of Krishna consciousness, they don't have that relationship with me. But someone else who can relate with them for whatever reason, because they have some similarities, that person would be an effective preacher for that other person. So everybody has really a unique position in the Sankirtan movement. There's no one who necessarily is, you know, better than somebody else. Everybody has something to contribute, really. And when we make these contributions, we see the fruit of that. The fruit of that is we cultivate our relationship with Krishna. We feel that. We feel enlivened. And also, when we share Krishna consciousness with others, our community grows. And that's enlivening, too. We see that the people that we have brought to Krishna consciousness or shared Krishna consciousness with have developed relationships with devotees, and the path of their life has changed in ways that they're very grateful for. And then when they share that gratitude, that's kind of the fruits of our Sankirtan. They share that they've developed a relationship with Srila Prabhupada and with Krishna, and it's changed their life for the better. That's the fruit of our preaching. You know, if I think back to some of the people that I touched early on, that I met, if I hadn't made that endeavor to, you know, 5 o'clock, working 9 to 5, and then, you know, go to campus, bring all the things there, you know, spend a few hours there, go to bed late, and, I mean, it's work, you know, it makes you tired, but when I think back, I would do it again and again, and, you know, it's so worth it, because when I see the people that I met that just came, and if that program wasn't there, and who they are today, many of them, I really think that that's a beautiful thing, and they're still in my life, and they're have become good friends. So you can create your own association through Sankirtan. So I'll end there. If anybody has any questions or comments about Sankirtan or the verse.
Hare Krishna, those kind of reading clubs that now we can join online, we have also not just reading clubs, there are seminars and classes, but from specific topics and specific books, from Srila Prabhupada mostly. Do you consider like a type of Sankirtan? Like, I have a reading club, I organize a reading club for Spanish speaker devotees, but also we invite people who are not devotees, so like, you know, bhaktas or people who are interested in knowing a little bit of more about Prabhupada's books. I would like to hear actually your opinion about that, like, is that Sankirtan? You consider that Sankirtan?
I think if you have an active role in that type of program, you know, sharing the name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, entourage, etc., with others is Sankirtan. You know, if somebody is completely new to Krishna consciousness, I think that you know, we should endeavor for that. But these types of groups are essential. They need to be maintained because, like you said, this is like sort of an environment where others can feel comfortable inviting people to hear about Krishna consciousness. So not everyone is going to be receptive if you just pass them on the street and stop them and give them a book. So I think if you have an active role in these types of programs and you're thinking of ways to bring new people, it doesn't have to be somebody who's brand new necessarily, who's going to hear about Krishna for the first time. But it could be. And it could also be somebody who may not have the sort of the desire to come to temple or even the ease to come. Maybe they don't live near a temple. It could be somebody who's new to Krishna consciousness but already introduced, and you bring them into the group. That can be a form of sankirtan because you're sharing Krishna consciousness with them. But I think the important point is that you are making some endeavor to do that. You with determination and some sincerity that you are trying to introduce others or trying to share Krishna consciousness with others. If you have more of a passive role, which is also okay, many times we need that. We need to just kind of, you know, get association. Then maybe not so much. But if you're primarily, your role is to give association, and that's your desire, and that's your drive and your impetus, and really what you're using your mind for, then that is a way of sankirtan, yes.
Thank you.
So this is from online. Can you ask him to give an example of what questions you ask someone to get them to talk about Krishna? So that's a good question. So, these are the expert questions. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew Raghupati Upadhyaya, so he asked him questions that were the topmost questions, you know. Who is God? Krishna, like this. So, I think the first point in order to ask the right questions is you have to know the person who's in front of you. And by getting to know them, they will feel that you care about them. And they'll put their guard down and they'll be sincere with you. You know, trust is very important for love to flow freely. So if somebody trusts us, they will see that we care about them and they'll be sincere with us. And when we're sincere, you know, we can really connect with Krishna in our heart. So we have to know the person, and if we don't know them, so it really depends on the person who's in front of us which questions we ask. If we don't know them at all, we have to start with basic questions to get to know them. It also depends on the circumstance and the situation of the conversation. You know, certain things you can speak free. If you can, you know, like at work, you can't really have a discussion there about religion so openly. So, you know, it may be a different type of discussion there, like over lunch. But if it's somewhere where you can speak freely, like it's outside, and you don't know the person at all, really you have to ask questions about them. Let them speak about themselves, because people love to speak about themselves. You know, if you ask a question about, if you just kind of inform somebody about something, you give them information and they don't agree, the conversation is over. You know, people are busy. They don't have a very long attention span. They're going to move on. And this is some of the skill of the book distributor, you know, and that's why book distribution really will help you in all types of preaching, in all environments, because it's the same skill that you will use for book distribution, for preaching in all types of circumstances. So, I mean, to stop someone on the street, I mean, they have somewhere to be, probably at a certain time. You know, they don't want to talk with a stranger, you know. But if you ask them questions, if you get them to talk about themselves somehow, it will make them feel good. Also, it will make them like you, you know, because they'll feel like you care about them. So if you already know about the person, or you've already gotten through the stage of having a discussion and having them talk about themselves, you know, you may want to ask some questions if you've, you know, about more specifically about the person's spirituality. I found that it's easier to start from the most basic platform. So start from the material platform, just be nice, and then go to the spiritual platform more and more and more until you really get to the topmost, you know, the highest and most advanced spiritual knowledge that that person has, you know, already cultivated in themselves, you know, to try to get to know what is their relationship with Krishna, what is their current level of understanding about Krishna consciousness. You know, it may be that God is nature, that's great. You know, it may be that there's no God, but there's a loving force, you know, kindness, caring to others is their highest principle. That's great. They're in, you know, have they're spend some time in the mode of goodness. Then from there, you can offer them a little bit of nectar. At that point, they'll be willing to accept it because you've already spent, you know, and this may only occur over like a minute or two, really, a few minutes. You've already spent time getting to know them. You've already got some information about where they're at in their lives spiritually. Now you can preach, quote unquote, preach. You can tell, give them some nectar, so that they'll be inspired to ask you questions. And sometimes you ask so many questions to them, they just start asking questions. They're already inspired, you know. They're like, wow, this person is so nice. You know, they just start asking you questions. Where are you from? Where, you know, what do you practice? Oh, you look a little different. What's that in the back of your, you have some long hair there. What's that around your neck? You know, what's that on your face? You know, and then you have somebody who has faith. And you can go from there. But even a person who has little or no faith, if they have, or let me correct myself, even a person who has a little faith, you can get to that point where, okay, this is it. They'll be willing to hear something from you, you know? And so how do we ask that question? We have to know the person, we have to know the situation, and then we can ask the right questions. And if we don't know the person, then we have to start from that basis, and starting the conversation. Thank you for that question. Jai Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.
Jai
Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanandi.